Good morning.
How are you today, sir?
I think I'm fine.
Are you in Washington this morning?
I'm in Washington this morning.
How's the weather in Washington, D.C.?
It's been really cold all week, like in the 20s.
How's the temperature in the Capitol building?
The temperature in the Capitol building, it's always heated.
I thought maybe it might be. I mean, we out here in the middle of the country, out here in the beautiful state of Kansas that you represent, we've been hearing an awful lot about Kansas up there.
There's a bit of Kansas going on. It's good that you're hearing about Kansas.
But let's talk. We have, and I'm going to let Brandon take the lead on this interview because he's got all the notes over here. But just want to say thank you for calling in, and we appreciate the work that you're doing on behalf of those that serve our country.
Dave Lewis, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity I've been given to be a member of the United States Senate, but especially to work on behalf of those who've served our country in much more significant and challenging, dangerous ways.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate it. Senator Moran and Senator John Tester of Montana were part of a roundtable discussion with stakeholders yesterday on improving suicide prevention efforts and the veteran transition. And I know Art DeGroat from K-State was one of those who was part of that as well. And this is a really neat event. Kind of give us an overview of what happened yesterday.
Well, I'm happy to, and I'm glad that you're interested. I chaired the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs in the days in which the Republicans had the majority of the Senate. John Tester was the ranking Democrat on that committee. We've now flipped positions because of the change in the majority of the United States Senate. In my day, my number one priority announced from the beginning is we're going to try to do all we can do to reduce the number, eliminate the number of veterans who commit suicide. And John Tester and I worked on a bill called the John Q. Hanen Act, designed to do that. It passed our committee, passed the Senate, passed the House, and was signed into law by the President. So this has been a long-running problem, challenge, disaster, really, for the veteran community, for families. And what we know from that experience and what was discussed in this roundtable yesterday, a virtual roundtable, was the fact that the most vulnerable time, the most likely time that a person commits suicide is as they are transitioning out of the active military and becoming a veteran. And in fact, the demographic studies indicate that first 6 months, generally the highest frequency of suicide peaks during 6 to 12 months after separation. And we know that there's someplace between 18 to 20 veterans who commit suicide a day. The statistics also show that male service members are significantly higher at risk for suicide than their female counterparts, and younger veterans that are transitioning have suicide rates that were approximately 4.5 times those who transitioned out of the military, active military, at an older age, 40 or older. We were looking for some expertise, and Art DeGroat is that person. In fact, he testified before our committee, and Chairman Tester, after his testimony a month or so ago, called him white-hot smart. So Art has become the go-to guy, and he has his own experience of transitioning out of the active military to becoming a veteran.
Well, it's such an important topic here, and you mentioned younger folks seem to have more challenges. Do we know why that is?
Well, I mean, a lot of the conversation, I understand that you're going to ask Art to be on your program, and again, his expertise is significant and certainly now being relied upon by the United States Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, and it is the loneliness, the lack of support system, going from a mission-oriented circumstance to, man, I don't know what the freedom may not be the right word, but more individualized action, not surrounded by your counterparts, your fellow patriots, and having a moment in which you're looking for purpose in life that was so prevalent in your previous life. So maybe the things that we would think of that are missing in people's lives, and it's that being surrounded with a mission by people who share that mission and trying to find your feet. Sometimes it can be financially related. stress in a family, but just lots of things are happening in a military man or woman's life at the time they depart service.
That's so difficult because there's so many of us who know a veteran or know somebody in the military, and you just want to reach out and you want to do whatever you can to help them out, but we don't always know how to help. You know, that's a real constant struggle.
Brandon, I appreciate you saying that, and I encourage you and every Kansan, me included, to reach out. Hopefully something more than just thank you for your service, although that's a useful thing to say, but particularly the veterans that we know get engaged more than just that sentence. And particularly with the disastrous way that we came out of Afghanistan here now a few months ago, the suicide indications are increasing, not decreasing, and especially by Vietnam veterans and by those who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, with, again, kind of the question about what purpose did I serve in Afghanistan based upon what they were seeing on the news and hearing on the radio back at the time that Americans departed, in my view, precipitously. And so this is a time, and personal contact, relationships with people matter. We also, the thing I wanted to highlight is we don't have, as a rural state, but just as any place really in the country, we don't have all the infrastructure in place, the professionals in communities across Kansas who are trained and do know perhaps better than we do what it is we're supposed to say and do. And we need to increase the amount of community services that are available. I've tried for numerous years now to get community health centers like the one we have in Manhattan and the region to be able to better care for veterans and to have the VA pay for those services. Art DeGroat and I, the doctor and I, have been working on trying to get Katie's Way, for example, to be able to provide services to veterans in our community of Manhattan. So that take advantage of the resources that are there in the private sector and make them available for veterans. But it is a huge issue. There's not enough mental health counselors, providers, social workers, all the tasks that we assign to a certain set of people. Those professions don't exist in significant enough numbers to be available. One of the things that the John Q. Hanen Act, the piece of legislation that I mentioned that Senator Tester and I introduced and got passed into law, creates a grant program for community organizations to engage, to train volunteers, to know the methods, and to get involved in veteran lives in their community. I think of my hometown of Plainville. You're a long way from the VA in Topeka or Wichita or Denver. And if you need particularly mental health services, you need them immediately. And so we got to overcome in a state like ours the distance that exists between where a veteran lives and where the services, if they're available, are available.
Does that law also kind of entail added telehealth visits and such?
Absolutely, and the Department of Veterans Affairs would highlight the increasing use of telehealth as one of their methods to overcome distance. And I've been pleased, perhaps surprised, at the value that veterans, but people generally, put on telehealth. I think I start with the assumption that most people would be dissatisfied with telehealth, the distance, the use of the technology. They'd want to see someone in person. And that telehealth maybe was the thing you fell back on when that wasn't available. But my experience, mostly just in conversations with patients who are utilizing telehealth, is they find it very appealing and sometimes like it better than the in-person appointment. And telehealth is a huge opportunity. It's one of the reasons we're fully engaged in additional resources for broadband so that telehealth service for veterans and others is more readily available with the necessary speeds and connectivity that would allow it to be pretty darn effective.
Mm. All right. So I guess where do we go from here after this meeting you had yesterday?
Well, I mean, this is a series of roundtables. It's been, because of COVID, we've been using, in our case, this was done by technology, and because of COVID, we're still having in-person hearings, but many of our witnesses appear by Zoom or by technology, and we will continue this. we'll now go back and take what we heard. Dr. DeGroat was certainly a significant participant in the roundtable yesterday, but in addition, it was only three others outside Senator Tester and I, and it was a outreach program specialist from the Montana Job Service, the Veterans Outreach person, and Hannah Sinaway, who's the Executive Vice President of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. So we're going to go back, and our staff, we'll take our time and analyze what was said. We'll probably go back to those individuals and ask more questions. And, again, just get a better idea of what those next steps should be.
All right. Well, this is a good example of bipartisan efforts taking part in Congress. It does happen. It's nice to see that, and especially with issues like this that are so important to our communities. I'm so glad that you all are working on this, and hopefully we'll get some good outcomes out of this.
Brandon, thanks. In my view, you could hardly tell the difference between the Veterans Committee, whether John Tester is the chairman or, I mean, I prefer to be the chairman. I'm not discounting that, but whether I'm the chairman or he's the chairman, the workings of that committee, our committee members, this is one of the, unfortunately, few remaining places the Veterans Committee is in which that is certainly dominates almost exclusively. It's about the veteran and not about Republicans and Democrats. When I get off the phone, incidentally, guys, I'm conducting a briefing on NBAF with the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health and the Department of Homeland Security, and national security agencies. Part of the briefing will be classified for purposes of educating me and my colleagues about the latest developments, the intentions at NBAF in Manhattan, and perhaps the unique thing here is not just an update on where we are, but to get behind the locked doors of a place in which no one can listen in, and get law enforcement and Homeland Security to give us any knowledge they have of how we're going to be making sure that place remains protected.
All right. Well, that's good news. Well, Dave, anything else you have?
Nope. Senator, thank you so much. Appreciate all the work you do on behalf of the state of Kansas. And I know you'd rather be home tomorrow to enjoy this wintry weather that we have coming, with some ice and snow in store for us.
Robert tells me, I don't know whether she's telling me the truth, but I should listen to the K-Man and you'd tell me the weather, but she tells me I need to be home before Saturday.
Yes.
Or I may not get home.
That may be true. Yeah. And Senator, you could listen to us online every morning.
I should do that.
You should, yes.
All right, now the next time we talk, you're going to ask me if I did, so I have no choice.
There will be a quiz.
Oh, yes, not just I can't say that I listened, but I'm going to have to tell you what you said.
You're going to have to prove it.
All right.
Senator, always good to have you on, and thank you so much. I know that our community really appreciates you coming on and being able to talk about the work that you're doing in Washington, D.C. Have
thank
a good day and a good
me.
Weekend. Safe travels.
Thanks very much.
How fortunate are we that we have these conversations with...